I had come across a phrase in 1 Corinthians, and you can turn over there, chapter 16, 13 through 14 is the whole phrase, but especially in 13, in 1 Corinthians 16, 13. It was an interesting phrase. I only found it in two places in the Bible that are similar, not exactly the same. And I found it interesting. I probably found this, been about 6 months. When I had free time to study things that I wanted to study, every once in a while I'd turn to this and look at it. But I thought it was interesting. It says, be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love. And an interesting phrase, because right before here he talks about Timothy and Apollos. It's not a pause. It does go with it, but it's kind of a weird place to have it. And then it goes on and said, now I urge you, brethren, you know the household. And it starts talking about other people towards the end of the book here. But I was like, what does he mean by act like men? He's talking to the whole church. So we understand that he's talking to men and women. Also just due to that, Paul doesn't endorse women acting like men and vice versa. So when it says act like men, it's a command to the whole entire church. And the first thing that came to mind, and it's not correct, but I thought I'd bring it up, is David's Mighty Men. It's not talking about this, but I think there's some good points here. We're not going to read these chapters, but it's in 2 Samuel 23, 1 Chronicles 11. But David's Mighty Men, one guy kills 300 men. Another killed a lion inside of a pit on a snowy day, it says, and also killed a mighty Egyptian with his own spear. He took it from him and struck him down. and just a few of these men made whole armies flee. David wanted a cup of water, so they don't just break through the camp of the Philistines. They just don't go through some part of the army, but they says it goes through their camp. They get some water and they come back. I'm not sure what that looks like. Does the guy have a ladle and they brought up some water and one carries it back while the two defend? I really don't know, but that to me, that's insane. Three men break through an entire camp to get to a well for their king. But as I thought about these men, there was, in war, they were strong. They were courageous in war. There was no fear because they trusted their king and their God. They acted like men. And even though this is something that we all, when you're growing up as a kid, you read through Judges, you read through certain parts of the Bible, you're like, I wish I was like that hero in the Bible that I was growing up. And David's Mighty Men were always one of those things. I always wonder why Mel Gibson never made a movie about that. And hopefully one day he will. But when I look at this, even though we like this idea and we can take things from it, this is not what Paul is talking about here. Because we're not a theocracy. We're not a God-ran nation. It's not the idea of where we go when we bring things to God in our nation. But God calls us to a different idea of to act like men. But the first thing that we have to realize is that one of the things that Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 13:11. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, it's putting away childish things. So this is talking about prophecy and other things, but the point still stands. It says, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. And what's interesting is, like I said, I know this not going with the context, but it's a point is that when you grow up, you put away things, you stop acting a certain way, and you start acting like a man. And excuse me. And it's interesting is that part of acting like men is putting those childish things away. Solomon was but a child in the sense when David talked about him to the whole assembly. Turn over to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. And it says, then King David said to the entire assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced. And the work is great, for the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. And what I find interesting is that he says to the assembly, God has chosen him, but He really has no idea what he's doing. He's inexperienced. He needs to grow into the shoes, as you might say. He has to learn. And Solomon also understood this himself in 1 Kings chapter 3, 7 through 9. And keep your finger in 1 Kings, so we'll flip one chapter back after this. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting verse 7. It says, "Now, O Lord my God," and this is Solomon talking, "you have made your servant king in the place of my father David. Yet," notice he says, "I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge the great people of yours?" The idea of growing up as a child is to be able to have an understanding heart to judge and discern between good and evil and act rightly before God. So that gives us a little hint of what it means to start acting like man. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 through 2. This is the second time you'll find the phrase kind of found in the Bible. And it's "show yourself to be a man," David charges Solomon with. "As David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon, his son, saying, 'I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself to be a man.'" And if you just read part of verse 3, it says, "Keep charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances," and it keeps going. Just kind of remember that. But the idea is that, notice he says, "be strong, show yourself to be a man." And I think it's interesting that it's kind of the same phrasing that Paul uses for the Corinth church. But what does showing yourself to be a man actually mean? Because you'll see phrases in the Bible and you're like, okay, does that mean the worldly man where, you know, you just kind of act like, oh, I can take pain, I can take a hit to the stomach, and, you know, I can lift heavy things? Or is it talking about being a godly follower? And then in 1 Chronicles 28:20, David defines this a little bit better, what it means to show yourself to be a man. 1 Chronicles 28:20. "Then David said to his son Solomon, 'Be strong and courageous and act. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord your Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished." The idea of acting like a man is being strong and courageous, and fearless is also mentioned in there. And we'll read a little bit more about that. But to act, to stand firm. See, in the church in Corinth, we're acting like mere children. They weren't acting this way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 3, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of the flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink and not solid food, for you're not able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you're not yet able, for you are still fleshly." Then he goes on to say on how they're acting like the world. And so there's that idea of acting strong and courageous, and it's the way you present yourself, it's the way you've grown in God, and how you trust in Him. And one of the people I want to note about being strong and courageous, the one that we sung that last song about, was Joshua, was strong and courageous. I find him to be the most interesting. We actually aren't going to talk about any of his accounts in this part, but we will a little bit later. But turn over to Joshua chapter 1. And he's about to go into the promised land. Actually, let's start in verse 2. Moses had died. It says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. And also notice that I will not fail you or forsake you. You'll see that come up a lot dealing with this issue. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people a possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, Joshua was told that no man would be able to stand before him, no nation. And that he was not to turn from the law at all. The book of law should not depart from his mouth. He will meditate on it. And do not tremble or be dismayed. Do not fear. And it was commanded of Joshua 3 times to be strong and courageous by God in just a couple, about 3 verses. What's also interesting, if you go down to verse 18, the people of Israel asked the same thing of Joshua. And they said, anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. And what do they charge Joshua with? Only be strong and courageous. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 31. But is it just the leaders that are required to be this way? A lot of times we look at people who lead, if it's teaching Bible class, preaching, elders, or deacons. But who else was told besides Joshua? And in Deuteronomy 5, it says, the Lord will deliver them up before you, and he's talking to Israel, the nation, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Have you started noticing a theme on what God says about being strong and courageous and why? Is that he will not fail you or forsake you. And then Moses, in just the next verses, tell the same thing to Joshua. And Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord sworn to their fathers to give them, and he shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. When we kind of think about David's mighty men, they seem like they had no fear. They weren't dismayed. To get a cup of water, they would cut through a whole camp of another army, just 3 of them. But when you start thinking about that in spiritual terms, you start seeing that each person in the nation of Israel was called to the same call. Was to be strong and courageous, to act like men, and to do what God had asked them. Because when God goes before you, there is no fear. So how do we act like men? And I mean that for men and women. So in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, it says, be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. What does this look like? In Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, it's a popular verse, but notice what it says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to what? Stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So already we got 2 of the ideas there, is to stand firm in your faith, to be strong, and it keeps going and repeats itself. Let's actually jump down to verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so you'll be able to resist in the evil day. Have done everything to stand firm. And verse 14 starts out again. It talks about the armor of God. Stand firm. And when you think about every scripture that we've almost read so far, how does one become strong? How does one know to stand firm in God? You know, when I think about down in the kids' class, I think it's like the kindergarten class. They have a you know, picture of armor, does that just suddenly come naturally to you? Is that something that you instantly know what that means? And the idea is, how does one become strong? Almost every scripture read mentions knowing God's word. It's to know it in and out. And at times, I remember growing up as a kid, there are people in the church that you're like, okay, you've been in the church 50 years, and you have no idea what the Bible says at all. They hadn't grown up. They hadn't become strong and courageous for God. Instead, it was just, they had no idea how to use the armor of God because they weren't founded in His Word. They couldn't even stand firm against any arguments. They couldn't battle with the schemes of Satan because they did not grow. And it's something to take note of is that to be able to use something, you have to understand it. You have to know how to use it. You just don't, we got given this stretchy thing that's like an insect my mother-in-law sent me. If you all know, I like insects. And it goes like this, and you start swinging around, and it spreads out. And I was pretending I had a sword or nunchucks. I don't know how to use a sword or nunchucks. And I kept hitting myself, and my wife's like, are you purposely doing that? You know, and I was like, ah, and I was like, okay, enough of that. I was trying to impress Rowan and make myself look like a fool. But the point is that you have to be able to know how to use it. You have to be founded in it. You have to use it often. And like I said, every scripture says to be able to stand firm, to be able to be strong, it has to be an active part of your life. One cannot be a lazy Christian and expect to stand up and stand firm on their faith. And the part of standing firm in the faith, once you actually have that knowledge, turn over to Joshua 24:15. So we understand what it means to build up those spiritual muscles, to be able to wear the armor properly and how to use the weapons and the armor. But Joshua was always bold about his faith. In Joshua 24:15 it says, if it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we'll read in just in the next slide in a moment, he's telling them, your fathers weren't great people. We'll read about how those people, these sons and daughters, their fathers rebelled against God. And they said, no, well, we'll follow God as the next response. But Joshua didn't care about their response. He just says, this is what my family's going to do, regardless of what you choose. And see, Saul and Peter struggled with the issue of influence around them. Turn to 1 Samuel 15. We've heard this many times about do not add or take away from God's word, but I want to pull a different point from it. And after we read those verses, we'll jump down to verse 24. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned his back from following me and has not carried out my commands. And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and it was told to Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel. Behold, he set up a monument for himself. Then he turned and proceeded on down to Gilgal. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord. And we're not going to read through that whole entire thing. That's for a different lesson. But Saul basically is lying at the moment. He knows he hasn't done it. He admits it later. What's interesting is, you go down to verse 24, we find out the reason why he doesn't follow God. Because he's not a strong and courageous man. He might have won a mighty battle, but it was all due to God. But who did he fear? Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord in your words, because what? I feared the people and listened to their voice. He cared more about what other people thought than he did about following God, even though God just granted him a mighty win in a battle. In Galatians 2:11, Paul opposes Peter. These are two apostles. One apostle's gone astray, is in sin. And Peter, also called Cephas, has started acting like the law of Moses should be instituted again. He starts withdrawing himself from the Gentiles. And it says in verse 11, "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing," notice that word there, "fearing the party of circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy." And then Paul goes in with what kind of the rebuke he gave. But notice that Paul realized that Peter stood condemned, and he didn't care what position, that he was an apostle. It was false, it was wrong, and he was going to stand up against it. The idea of standing firm in your faith. It's shown there, and there's two different contrasts of what people do when the majority might be against you, and we'll talk about that actually right now. See, part of acting like men is being fearless and courageous. In Luke 12, 4 through 5, all the men that you read about that are fierce and courageous, they have this in mind. In Luke 12, starting in verse 4, "I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after have no more that have no more that they can do. But I'll warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." Now, let's keep reading to get a little bit more context. "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you are more valuable than sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." That's the idea of God's going before you. He understands you're worth more than two little birds, a pair of sparrows or whatever it may be. He's there before you. Do not fear. The same idea that's told to Joshua and the people is extended here. See, over in Numbers 14, 5 through 11, the people had we sent out spies. Moses is still alive. They come back, and only two of the people actually give a good report. And the people start getting fearful of the surrounding nations. It says, "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of congregation of the sons of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to spy out in an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them.' But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. And then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent, in the meeting of all the sons of Israel." And I forget if it's at hundreds of thousands or millions of people of Israel. But I know the congregation, but everybody's waiting for this report. And what four men stood up against an entire nation? Aaron, Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. Can you imagine if there's a mass of people that want to kill you, and you know what you're going to say is probably not going to go well with them? Do you start trembling? I'm not saying I wouldn't. But these men, as we read about Joshua especially, they had that view of, it's much more fearful than falling, it's much more fearful to fall in the hands of God than it is to the hands of men. And so they understood this, and they never gave, or did their best, never to give in to mob mentality or majority rules. They always stood for what was right. They understood that God was always the ultimate king. He is the one that rules all, and that they should fear him. So that's part of being fearless and courageous. It doesn't matter the situation. The next thing is being alert and be bold regardless of the consequences. In Ephesians chapter 6, we just read through all the way down to 13. We'll jump to verse 18. It says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul was asking for prayers. May I not fear those who hurt me. I'm in chains. May I be bold about it. When I tell people if there's something wrong, don't let it go on for too long. Or if there's even something right and someone needs to be told and encouraged in that way, don't take too long. See, about being bold and courageous and being fearless and acting like men, it means you do what is right in the situation. And in Paul's thing, he wanted to do what was right regardless of the consequence. He was in chains. He says, be on alert. Be bold. See, Paul understood this. When Paul is reprimanding the Corinth church in 2 Corinthians 11, and we're just going to read 23 through 24 because he keeps going on and on. And it says, are there servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors and far more imprisonments, beatings, times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Night and day I have been spent in the deep. And he goes on and on. Paul wasn't doing this to boast. But what he was doing was saying is, he held the view of, he had no fear of man. He understood what it meant to be fearless and courageous before God, and that it mattered, there was only one person that he had to please. And sadly, at times, it would cost Christians their lives. Stephen died living this way. In Acts 7, 58 through 60, it says, when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witness laid aside the robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. In all these situations that we showed, Paul survived a lot of them. I'm not sure if I want to, it's not an amazing thing to be survived being whipped, stoned, shipwrecked, and everything else. And that list that he has, there's actually more added onto it as his life goes on. But it was with Joshua, at one point, the people wanted to kill him, the whole nation. And then the kids of those people wanted to follow him, at least for a while. And then you got other people in here where you got Paul. He understands that through all these things, it doesn't matter the consequences, but he lived through it. And then you got Stephen who dies. All of them all had different consequences, but they didn't care about the consequence that what people might be doing them, but what how God viewed them. So we get close to ending. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, 32 to 35. Hebrews chapter 10, 32 to 35. And it says, but remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured great conflict of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. And we'll read the rest of that in just a moment. But the writer of Hebrews is encouraging them to remember what happened to them and why. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But all Christians will stand up and bad things do happen. But regardless, it's always with that view of Luke 12. And when we look at the idea of growing up, it's just not we're not tossed to and fro by everything that comes around us. But regardless of the circumstance, we're standing firm in the faith, so the Satan can't shake us off of our stance. And the armor is used properly because we have grown up. And that's the idea of holding fast until the end. Holding on to our confidence. That's the idea of acting like men. Paul isn't just trying to be a mean guy. He's trying to tell the Corinth church, just as David was trying to tell Solomon, This is what will hold you till the end if you act like men. And we talked about you hear, you believe, you repent, you confess, and you be baptized. And then we talked about the last thing, being obedient to death. And that means of the natural or not. And that's what the Hebrew writers was trying to encourage. Is that taking hold, laying hope, keeping your eyes focused. Because it's not just the idea of I'm firm in scriptures and I have a strong faith and etc. But it's also, we understand that there is something that is waiting. That's so much better than this life. In Hebrews 10:35, it says, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. And then it goes actually into what we call the chapter Hebrews 11, the heroes of the faith and how they stood firm. And God, how they acted like men throughout the ages. But the idea is that you don't throw away your confidence. Hold on to what's set before you. It's not just that you fear God, but that there's a reward waiting for your long endurance that is set before you. And those around you that you can encourage. And the whole idea is that we don't shrink back to those who are of destruction, those who fall away. And as you go throughout this week, I want to encourage you is when it's time to be bold for God, regardless if you're brothers and sisters in Christ, when it's time to act like men as Paul commands us and as people in the Old Testament also were commanded, take that opportunity. Don't be afraid. If it's to encourage someone, because it's not always bad things, it's to tell someone what they need to hear so they can keep going on until the end as the Hebrews writer is encouraging people in that letter. I know that when you go through all those things, as Jeff might have said this morning, God is smiling down on you. His countenance is lifted because you have stood firm in the faith and were strong and acted like men. So if there's anyone here today that needs to become a child of God or needs to be encouraged to help stand firm and start growing in that way, we encourage for you in any of those needs or you just need the prayers of brothers and sisters in Christ to come forward and make that decision as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.